As you already know, I think, we are taking a break for our series from the attributes of God, our pastor being on holiday. We pray that he will have a restful and blessed time and he will be recharged. And sometimes it's really hard to pick up a sermon between different series, like the one in Matthew in the morning, which Graham continued, and this one in the evening. But I pray that the Lord will speak to us and he will be gracious to us this evening. I want to bring before you tonight a short message of encouragement for us as Christians and a challenge for those who are with us and they are not Christians yet. This Psalm 118, it's a great psalm. Apparently, some people say that it was Martin Luther's favorite psalm from the whole Bible. It's a great psalm, which hopefully in the future we'll be able to study from the beginning towards the end. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. It's an incredible start. But our focus tonight will be on verse 24. And some people live stuck in the past. Others live dreaming about a better tomorrow. But God tells us to live in the present. And I can't think of a better verse in the Bible that speaks to this than verse 24 of the Psalm 118. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. The past is gone. The future we either worrying or dreaming about may never actually arrive. But we have today, and we have it right now, and we should receive each day, every day, joyfully as a gift from God. I have divided this evening's message in three sections. First, we will look at an encouraging fact. Then we look at our appropriate response to that. And thirdly, we will look to the context that ties it all together. So let's begin with an encouraging fact. And this encouraging fact is, this is the day that the Lord has made. I grew up in a church, like most of you probably, and I grew up singing this verse in a song. Probably you know it, and we sung one variant of that. This is the day that the Lord has made, and it's a very encouraging song. It's a very encouraging verse, isn't it? No way that you can sing this verse and you are not lifted up. Why? Because it's an encouraging fact. Let's recognize this. Today, this day was made by God, and this should be an amazing encouragement to us. But we may wonder, how do we know that God made this day? Well, I want to go back to Genesis, because all the Bible teaches us that God created all things. Now, we know that God created all things in the beginning. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, we read that in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. And we know that. And we know that on the seventh day, God rested, finished his work, and he rested. But that doesn't mean that God is not still actively involved in the creation. Just listen to how Psalm 104 describes God's relation to his world. He sends the springs into the valleys. They flow amongst the hills. He waters the hills from his upper chambers. The earth is satisfied with the fruit of your work. He causes the grass to grow for the cattle and vegetation for the service of man, that he may bring forth food from the earth. He appoints the moon for the seasons. The sun knows it's going down. You make darkness and it is night, in which all the beasts of the forest creep about. O Lord, how manifold are your works. In wisdom you have made them all. That's Psalm 104. So, do you see how God is involved in his creation? When we try to reduce all that happens in creation simply to science and natural processes, we lose the sight of the fact that God is constantly involved in the work of his creation. Oh Lord, how manifold are your works. In wisdom you have made them all. God created all things, and that means that he made today, this day that we are living in. But God not only created all things, God also sustained all things. And there are many passages in the Bible where we can see and we can read about this. But one particularly came in my mind. It's Apostle Paul in Colossians chapter 1. He, talking about Jesus, is the image of the invisible God. All things were created through him and by him. He is before all things, and in him all things consist. All things were created by Christ, and in him all things hold together. And this is why we confidently proclaim that God not only created the world a long time ago, but God is directly involved in the world today. God didn't just create the world, wind it up, set the things up in motion, and then he leave it to operate on his own. No. He sustained his creation every day. Because God is a God of wisdom, God of and order. So God created the world that runs according to the natural laws we can discover and explore. But he also sustains the world created by the power of his own being and word. Should God choose to withdraw his sustaining power from the world, the whole universe would collapse in less than a second. Colossians says, in him all things hold together. They are together. Christ is the one. God is the one who holds all these things together. So, we saw that God created all things. We saw that God sustains all things. And we have to see, before we go further, that God reigns over all things. And you see, I wanted this message to relate to the previous messages that we heard from the series of the attributes of God. They're speaking about different attributes of God, the qualities of God. God reigns over all things. And just listen to Psalm 93, verse 1. The Lord reigns. He is clothed in majesty. The Lord is clothed in majesty. He has girt himself with strength. The Lord reigns. We should be joyful and we should rejoice knowing that. He is a ruler over all things. He reigns. And this is an encouraging fact. You and I sometimes lose control over the things that we make. Isn't that true? Things get away from us and we can make a real mess of them. But not God. Not God. God reigns over all things and he is ruler over all that he has made. So I think that's an encouraging fact, isn't it? This is the day that the Lord has made. How we know this? Because God created all things, sustained all things, and God reigns over all things. So we can be confident that this day was created by the God who does all these things that we just heard. What then should our response to this be? That brings us to the second part of our message this evening. There is only one appropriate response to the fact that God is the one who made this day and who made everything. And the psalmist continued the verse and said, "We will rejoice and be glad in it." And that's the only appropriate response. When we see who God is, what He has done, well, we bow down in worship and praise to Him and thankfulness, isn't it? There is no other appropriate response. Because we understand who He is, how great He is, and who are we? Creatures. And He is the mighty God. We will rejoice and be glad in it. What other response could we possibly give? Just think about that. We are in the presence of God. We know that He created all things. He sustained all things, including us. God reigns over all things. And knowing all these things, should we be sorrowful and sad? Should we be anxious and fearful? Should we be grumble, and complain? No. The psalmist said, and the word of God encouraged us, let us rejoice and let be glad in the day that God has made. And I just want to share with you briefly three reasons why rejoicing is the only appropriate response to the fact that God is the one who made this day. And all three are related to our previous sermons in the past couple of months. Firstly, God is good. And we heard a sermon about the goodness of God just a couple of weeks ago, isn't it? God is good. In fact, as I said, Psalm 118 starts with this. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His mercies endures forever. And if you go to the end of this psalm, you will see how it finishes. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His mercies endures forever. So the whole psalm and everything in it is framed by the awesome truth that God is good and He loves endures forever. Well, isn't that amazing? God is good and He loves endures forever. His mercies endures forever. And therefore, because God is good, all that He makes is good. And studying the character, the attributes of God should push us towards praising and rejoicing us in Him. Because He is our God. And He is amazing. And when we realize that all the things that He made are good, well, our confidence in Him grows, isn't it? And do you remember Genesis chapter 1 again? God created light and He saw that it was good. God created the sky and the dry land and it was good. God created the birds, the fish, the animals, the human beings, and He saw that it was good. So everything that God touches is good. When we go to buy something, we put a lot of trust, isn't it, in the quality standard of the manufacturer. So I'm going to pick just a random example from the world of electronics. And you know, there are a lot of big companies like, shouldn't be biased now, let's say Sony or Panasonic or others company that invest a lot of time and money in into having people associate their names with good quality workmanship. And when a consumer see that product, oh, it's a Sony, that's a good quality, I can trust this brand, yeah, it's, I know it's good. Well, there's nothing better than God. There is nothing better than God. When God makes something, we can trust the quality of the workmanship. And if you don't believe me, as Graham mentioned this morning, just go outside. At the end of the service, go outside. The prom is not far enough. And take a walk along the prom and watch the sunset. 2 hours. Or wait till later tonight and go out and look at the night sky. And tell me that God doesn't do good quality work. So, if God is good and all that He makes is good, then this is the day that God made, and this is a good day. And that's the first reason why we should rejoice in it, because it was made by God, and everything that God does, it's good. Second reason why we should rejoice in this day is because God is in control. God is in control. Sometimes we might wonder, is He? When we look around, isn't it? But the scriptures tell us that He is in control. And this goes back to what I was saying when I said that God reigns over all things. We learned about that a few weeks ago. God is sovereign. God is in control. God is ruler over everything. So God made this day, God planned this day, and nothing can interfere with His plans. We should remember these things. Yeah, when we see that all our plans, everything around is crumbling, we should remember that God planned this or that day, and nothing can interfere with His plans. And that we should be encouraged knowing that, because He is our God, we know Him. And David understood this truth when he wrote Psalm 139. And listen to verse 16. Your eyes saw my substance, being yet unformed. And in your book they all were written, the days fashioned for me, when as yet there were none of them. There is no surprise with God. We don't have to worry about what is going to happen today. God already knows what is going to happen today. Instead of worrying, we should rejoice. Why? Because we know that God is in control. God is not changing. We heard the sermon about the fact that God is unchanging God, isn't it? From eternity, He's unchanging. He's the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. He's in control. Nothing is out of His control. So we should rest on this truth. And we should be joyful. We should rejoice knowing this truth, that He is in control and He is our God. So no matter what is going to happen in this world, no matter who's going to win the next elections in America, no matter who's going to be our next prime minister next year, no matter What are we going to face next week or next month? Nothing. It's out of his control. So that's why we should rejoice and be joyful, because we rest on this truth. So we can remember all these things in our day-by-day life, every day, when we struggle with different issues, when we are discouraged. God is in control, my dear brothers and sisters. He's in control. He's in control. We shouldn't forget this. But why can we rejoice in this day that God has made, even when today may not be going as we hoped or planned? Quite often it's happening like that, isn't it? The day is not going as we thought, as we planned, as we dreamed, as we hoped. But we can rejoice even then, because God is good and because God is in control. And thirdly, we should rejoice in this day and in every day, because God cares for us. And last Sunday, we heard about God's love, isn't it? And probably next week, we are going to hear about God's care and God's mercy upon us. God cares for us. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7 says, cast all your cares on him, because he cares for you. God is not only in the control of universe. Maybe you thought when I started, why in the world Cipriani is going back to Genesis and universe and skies and planets? No. God is taking care of that creation, but he's taking care of us as individuals. He cares for us. He loves us. He knows us. He watches over us. And he is our God. I mean, just think. He called us when? Before creation began. Ephesians chapter 1. Before the foundation of the world, he called us. He knew us. He loved us. He cared for us. He provided a Savior. He provided a way of salvation. So this is our God. And we should rejoice in this. We should be glad in this. And we are under his protection 24/7. Nothing can happen to us unless it's permitted by God. Unless he's fulfilling his plans for our lives. Nothing can happen to us because he cares for us. So that's why this is the day that the Lord has made. Why should we rejoice and be glad in it? Because he is good. Because he's in control. He's sovereign. Because God cares for us. What would we gain if we would start to worry? Nothing. Can we change something in this universe? Not really. But we can rest our souls in this truth that the one who is the creator of this world, the one who is the sustainer of this world, is the one that is good, is in control of our lives, and he cares for us. And he promised us that he's going to keep us. He promised. And he is the Lord of the covenant. We are the covenant people, but if it's up to us, we cannot keep this covenant, isn't it? But it's him who promised that. And we should remember these promises, his covenant with us every day and in every aspect of our life. So, we have looked at the encouraging fact that this is the day that Lord has made. Have looked at our appropriate response. We will rejoice, we'll be glad in it, we'll worship Him, we'll praise Him. And finally, I would like to look at the context that ties it all together. We have been looking at a general, very general application of this verse. But the question arises, could this verse have a more specific meaning? When God inspired the psalmist to write these words, was he only thinking about this day as the day, or did he also have a specific day in mind? Well, we'll find a variety of interpretation on it. Some people say that it refers to the Sabbath day, the Lord's day, when we have to worship Him, when we have to praise Him and glorify Him and rejoice in Him. Others say that refers to the whole gospel age, when the new day arrived with Christ and the gospel. There are different interpretations, and probably if you next time when we'll look at the whole psalm, we'll be able to be more specific. But what the context tells us about this? If you have the time to tonight or tomorrow to look at the whole psalm, the Psalm 118, you will see that this psalm, it's a psalm, a victory song of a warrior king who was almost defeated in the battle. But the Lord delivered him from death and gave him victory upon his enemies. It's in the middle of the psalm, you can read it. Probably it's a psalm of David. So it's a victory song of a nearly defeated warrior king who was delivered by the Lord in the battle. The Jews apply this psalm, and they consider this psalm as a messianic psalm, and they said that this was a prophetic psalm, and the psalm was talking about the Messiah who was about to come. And I think they are right, because the New Testament applied this psalm directly to Jesus. It is quoted in all four Gospels, in Matthew, in Mark, in Luke, and John, where Jesus is revealed as the true fulfillment of this psalm. And it says that He is the cornerstone who was rejected by men, but exalted by God. Some of the Jews were singing this psalm along the celebrations at the time of Passover. So it was a very well-known psalm in those times. So, what does this day means in the full context of the psalm? As I said, up to this point, we have been looking to the general application of this verse, that God is the author of every day, and therefore we should receive every day joyfully as a gift from God. And I think that's a valid application. But there is more specific interpretation of these words as well. Because Jesus Christ is the warrior king who looked like he was going down in defeat on the cross, isn't it? But then, God delivered him. And God raised him from the dead. God exalted him to the highest place in heaven. And it is because what God did on that day that we may have confidence in this day. Because we know what happened. Because Christ is risen. Christ is exalted. Christ is victorious. And that's why, that's the real reason why we may rejoice and be glad in it, in every day that the God has made. Because the whole context is found in Jesus. The true context is found in Jesus. No wonder that was Martin Luther's favorite psalm. Jesus is our Savior. He lived, He died, He rose again. He is in heaven now, interceding for us. This is our Lord. And because of Him, because we put our trust in Him, we can understand all those things, that God created all these things, that God sustained all things, that God takes care of everything, that God is in control, that God loves us. Just remember days before you were saved. Just remember those days. Were you able to comprehend all those truths, all these truths? Were you able to recognize God's authority over your life? I didn't, even though I grew up in a church. But when the moment when Christ called me and I realized that I have to come to Him in repentance and faith, the eyes were open, isn't it? Isn't that your experience? And it is because of what God did on that day when the Lord Jesus was crucified and then He rose again. We can have confidence in this day because the Lord God who promised us in Genesis that He will provide a salvation. And He provided, isn't it? The same God is telling us that we have to trust in Him and we have to believe in Him and we should be glad in it because everything that comes upon us, it's from Him. It's under His control. And just remember if you doubt. From Genesis chapter 3 till the moment when our Lord Jesus Christ came on the third, God moved empires, countries, people, millions. Everything worked in order to fulfill the promise. So, my dear brothers and sisters, isn't that encouraging for us? The same God who moved nations, empires, build up, drop them, is the God who promised that He is with us. And He's the God who controls our lives and everything that goes around us. So, concluding, here is my challenge for you. We are just at the start of a new week. Will you commit to starting each day of this new week with verse 24 of Psalm 118 on your lips? Will you wake up each morning and choose to say, "This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it"? Now, before you are tempted to say yes, which I wish you would say yes. But before that, let me warn you up first. You might be going to have some tough days this week, this month, this year. Some of us might face sickness. Some of us might have financial troubles. Some of us may lose a loved one. And for most of us, on the day that crisis hits our lives, we have no idea when we woke up in the morning what God has in store for us on that day, isn't it? We have no idea. And so we might wonder, how am I supposed to start my morning rejoicing in this day that the God has made, when this day may bring a tragedy for me? It's a valid question. But, my dear brothers and sisters, that only makes even more important that we should begin each day with this verse in mind. Because we have to remember, God is for us, not against us. God is for us, He's not against us. And He has a purpose in all that happens in our life. This is the Bible teaching, and we can see this from Genesis to Revelation. God has a purpose with all His people. And we have to remember that He is our God. Remember, a week ago, we heard that sermon of Mr. Sinclair Ferguson about us being, well, in Christ. Being in Christ. And being in Christ, we are a new creation. If we are in Christ, we are safe. He is our God. The God who loves us from eternity past. He is the God of the covenant. He is the God who fulfills all His promises. And this God is our God. And He is for us and not against us. For certainty, I don't know what God has written in His book for myself or for you this week. I have no idea. But I know who God is. I know what He has done. And I know what He promised. And I know that what is uncertain for me is not uncertain for Him. And everything is going to go according to His plan. So, concluding, it all comes down to a matter of trust, isn't it? Do we trust in the Lord or not? Simple as that. Simple as that. Do we trust the character of God that created all things? The God who sustains all things? The God who reigns over all things? The God who is sovereign of all things? Do we believe that God is good? That God is in control? That God cares for us? Do we believe these things? We can listen. We can listen to all the sermons about the character and the attributes of God, which are great. I'm looking forward for the next one. And if you haven't heard, go on the website right now, tonight, and listen to them. 13 so far. Excellent. Excellent. But do we believe? Do we know God that we are singing about, preaching about, listening about? Or is just a God there? And it's a good academic exercise. Do we believe? Do we live with this God? Of course, I'm not going to appeal to our emotions and our feelings tonight and how we feel, because this must be subjective. What is objective is the Word of God. And the Word of God is telling us that God who reigns over all the world is our God, if we know Him. And that's enough for us. That's enough for us. That's enough for this day and for next day. We don't need anything more. And I'm speaking to you, my brothers and sisters. I'm speaking with those of us who are Christians. Do we trust the Lord in every situation in our life? And then I have another more important question, but we have to realize that I know tonight we are here from different nations. Different colors, different languages, different education, different backgrounds, all sorts of categories. But in reality, you know what? Tonight, here are just two categories. Just two. First one is those who believe in God. Those who are God's people. Yeah, we can be babies, toddlers, teenagers, young adults, adults, or very wise people. But we belong to God. And for us, the message is, do we trust God in everything? But there is a second category tonight here. There are people who don't know God. They don't have the faith in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And I'm sorry, but if you're in that category, this psalm doesn't apply to you. Because you cannot worship God. You cannot say with the psalmist, this is the day that God has made. Let us rejoice and worship Him. You can't, because you belong to a different kingdom. So, a more important question than, do we trust the character of God? Do we believe that God is good? God is in control? God cares for us, which are very important. There is another question. Do you believe that God raised Jesus from the dead and has exalted Him as Lord over all? Because as I said, the psalm, it's talking about Jesus. So, do you believe that God raised Jesus from the dead and exalted Him as Lord over all? Because if you don't, I'm sorry, you cannot understand these things. You need to come to in faith, with repentance to Him. And my question is, why not? As I said, tomorrow, we might be here, we might be not. We have no idea. Today is the day. What is stopping you coming to Christ? Come. But if you know Christ, if you are in Christ, if you know all these things, this verse belongs to you and to me. And we can wake up every morning and start our day with these precious words upon our lips. This is the day that God has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it.